they were related, because of whom they were related. For instance, if you happen to watch the Oprah interview them two spoiled brats this week, now that mommy queen's cutting them off, it's all about racism. Who didn't see that thing coming, right? Unbelievable. I think people need to grow up and realize something. That's a media-induced mob and nothing else. Never seem to have a problem until the media stirs it up. And some tonight have antique automobiles because of whom they were related. First time I ever sat in a car with a push-button transmission. My uncle had it, and his grandfather had left it to him. Incredible. I didn't know you could just push little buttons and make it drive like that. I mean, it's like a 1950-something green station wagon. What I wouldn't give to have a car like that right now. You had one, see? And what year was yours? It
must have been about 54, 56 maybe.
Was that your first car?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd like to drive it tonight. But some have those nice cars, those antique cars like that. Some have nice houses because of whom they were related. I knew this man a while back. They owned the land that now is the what do they call that thing? It's not the emergency room, but that little thing built right across from Walgreens. They were two nice houses over there worth a lot of money. And the fella, his mom and daddy died, he inherited them. And one day they come back, the tax people come after about a year, and they want their taxes. He said, I don't know you taxes. Mom and daddy died. Guess who got paid? And then they sold it to the hospital people and got paid twice. How about that? That's pretty slick right there now. You will pay taxes. If you don't believe me, ask everybody who went to jail for it. They say there ain't no debtor's prison in America, but you don't pay them taxes, you'll find out we still got one just for that. But some people have nice houses because of whom they were related. Some have great memories because of whom they were related. That's the rest of us. We got great memories because of whom we were related. We had good family members, and we look back on times, family vacations, things like that growing up. We have some good memories of that stuff like that. And some have nothing because of whom they were related. Some have nothing. There's a thing about, you know, providing for your own and things like that. But some people have drank their inheritance away or drank the inheritance of their kids away and stuff like that. It's just amazing how quick people go downhill when self sits on the throne of their life. It's really sad. It's really sad. But in Ephesians, these seven times this is going to occur in six verses, each time you see the word whom here, it's going to be about Christ every time. Now, as we look at this, I want to talk to you tonight about when Christ is the whom. When Christ is the whom. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, for the night to meet together in the house of God and look into your precious book. And Lord, when we get a message tonight like this and we look at it, Lord, and we find out that the whom is the source of the possessions. And Lord, we've already looked at the fact that Christ is going to be the one that's the whom in every time we see this in Ephesians. And we thank you, Lord, for what he did for us. Lord, we pray, God, you'll be with us during tonight. And Lord, open our understanding of the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight at the possessions that all born-again believers have, we only possess these because of whom they come from. Number one, verse 7, I had you turn there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Your Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of his riches, listen to this, and the whom that's mentioned in that verse, we have our first possession is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, his blood didn't go to planet Earth. It went to heaven. And the reason being, that very blood had to be on the mercy seat in heaven to pay for the sins of the world. Yeah. And when people say, well, that couldn't have been because the blood would have been on the cross, it fell to the ground. You don't know about this blood. This wasn't just any blood. This is the blood of the Lamb that John said, that said he's going to die for the sins of the world. And that blood was shed, and it says plainly about it was through his blood. So that blood couldn't stay here. It had to go to where the ransom had to be paid on the mercy seat. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And when he saved us, he gave us that possession. Do you know tonight that while you may not think about it often, if it wasn't for the blood and you possessing that blood, you could go to hell at any time. God has shed that blood through his son, paid for your sins, and we have redemption through his blood. When people try to take the blood out of Christ, you're taking the life out of Christianity. I read one time where this guy said that it wasn't the blood of Christ, it was the death of Christ. I got news for you. You can't have one without the other one. And if it's this same Jesus we read about here, we're talking about the blood, his blood. It's saving blood, and the day he died for us, it went to pay for us. But get this, it delivered us from where we was at, from where we was going, and where we was headed to. And because there's a delivery made, it had to leave one place and be headed to the other one. Amen. I like that. I don't ever have to go to hell, but I'm always going to have to go to heaven now. Yeah. In whom? Second place, if you look down at verse 11, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And I notice in this, in whom we have is the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you, y'all will see people get an inheritance, and they, boy, I wish my rich uncle died. I've had five die, and ain't nothing happened. They was all rich. Or said they was. I didn't get nothing. The kids didn't get nothing. Nobody got nothing. But you know what? I ain't waiting on a rich uncle to die to get it. You know why? I got a rich daddy.
That's right.
Oh, not him. No, I'm talking about that one.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Oh, y'all was getting scared on me. But listen to this. The inheritance that the Son of God gets, we get. Whatever he gets for inheritance, he's giving it to us to have with him. In whom? Who's that he said? Verse 11, listen to this. You ain't waiting on it. You already have it.
Yeah.
You ever thought about this? These people tell all these strange stories about heaven, how Jesus went to heaven to build you a place and all this other stuff. And as soon as your mansion gets done, you die and you go there. I've heard people tell that. You know what? It's already built. If he said, I go to prepare a place, it's prepared.
Right.
If he can create this universe in 6 days, heaven's finished and waiting. So how is that? I don't know, but it's done. But I do know this, whatever he has up there, we have up there. Whatever he has for inheritance, his father give him, we get the same thing.
Amen.
And here's the best part. Nobody and no crooked somebody can come along and cheat you out of it. Listen, you don't have to worry about who you get married to down here. They're not going to get half of it. You and them both get 100%.
Right.
And I like the fact that somehow God has got this thing set up that the whom that give it away is the whom that's the joint heir with you, and that thing is a permanent possession.
Yeah.
I like how people try to talk themselves out of things. They say, "Well, I'm not going to be saved forever. I might can sin and get out of it." Not in this whom you can't. Because it's in him, not you. In whom? A lot of people understand this, but this book's written for the body, the church. That's the whom, and we get it from the whom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 13. There's two here. In the first part of that verse, he says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The whom is Christ, and listen, the possession is this. The possession is the very word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his assurance to you, because he said, in whom ye also trusted, past tense, after that ye heard, past tense, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So if that, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is a guarantee that what's done when you get saved is already done and can't be undone.
Yeah.
It's a possession, and the reason it's possessed of us is because of the whom that gave it to us, and the whom is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get a more permanent gift than that one.
Right.
The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Why? It's the whom that gave the thing. and in whom we have our redemption, and whom we have obtained an inheritance, and whom ye also trusted. All of that points right back to the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second part of that verse, he says, in whom ye also trusted in verse 13, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to this one. In whom also that after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What did God do? He saved you, he put you in the blood, and now he sealed you by the Holy Spirit of God, because he knew without him, you might wander, you might stray, and you might do a lot of things, but he sealed you to his Holy Spirit and sealed you with the Spirit of God, and now because of that, you've got the seal of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my understanding that the diplomas you get from schools, that if they're legitimate diplomas from a from an institution, from a state or a government, they will have a particular seal on it. I've looked at all of mine. They have a seal on them. That's something you they just don't put on every piece of paper. That thing is sealed because it's sealed to indicate that's a done transaction. The work's finished. And the day you got saved, you didn't do a bit of work for it, but he who did sealed you with his work, the Holy Spirit of God, so that you can't be unsealed and you can't be wandering around on him, because you have been sealed by him. Here's the best part. You may lose your mind, but you'll never lose your soul.
Right.
Some of you can halfway identify with that right now. But I'm glad, thank God, I ain't got to worry about losing anything, because if I lose my mind, I'll probably be happier anyway. I hate that people go in nursing homes and lose their mind, but that's some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life sometimes. They don't care about nothing. They'll get a piece of cake, take two bites, throw it over their head, and don't worry about it. I always enjoy it. I said, man, help yourself. Throw another one. But listen to me. That seal that he gives you, it comes after you believed. And listen, when that seal comes, you've always got God with you. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Son of God is and the Father is. And if he's with you, that makes Psalm 23 even so much more true to you, especially the bad part. Everybody likes the cup running over, but nobody likes the shadow of death.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to say, well, you know what I'd like to do in the morning? I'd like for somebody close to me to pass away and let's go to the funeral home instead of the funeral home. Nobody wants to do that. They're not getting in line for that. But I tell you what they are getting in line for. They say they put them cups out there and said, fill her up, boys. Fill her up. We like it when God's Holy Spirit makes sure that happens in our life. And that thing right there is as much sealed as that valley of shadow of death is sealed. And neither one can't hurt you too bad. I'm glad to know tonight that the Holy Spirit of God walks with us. And I'm glad before the Pentecostal movement started in the 1900s that we had the Holy Ghost long before that.
Yep.
I've got sermons I've read that's 400 years old by old Baptist preachers, and guess what that's preaching about? The Holy Ghost, the fullness and walking with the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad, thank God, before I had to see somebody come up and have to explain this thing to me and take 10,000 words and say, write this down and all this, that listen, I knew this, the day I got saved, I got something. It's not about feeling, but the day I got saved, I knew something happened.
Amen.
So what was it? A seal. A seal. Notice down in chapter 2. You go to chapter 2 there. Look down at verse 21, the next and last verse. We not only have the seal of the Holy Spirit, but if you look down in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. Who does that? The whom does. Who's he talking about? He's talking about number 5, the holy temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's that? The church. Now, if we look at this thing rightly, we rightly divide the word of truth here. He's saying that this building fitly framed together, and it says it does this, groweth, it says, into an holy temple in the Lord. I've never met a Christian that stops growing.
Right.
Never met one. Not going to meet one in my lifetime. But what about if they're back? See, that's your problem. You're doing them what ifs. Read that verse again. Tell me what ifs that and that. It's not there. He lets on like the thing happens, groweth. Groweth into what? An holy temple. So I'll show you, I'll backslide and get out. You won't show me nothing. You'll be right back. It's only a matter of time. You won't go far. You know why? Not because I said so, because of whom you belong to. And he's the one that'll leave the 99 and go get you out there where you're banging. I'll backslide. Yeah, you'll find out you backslide. He'll come get you. Just like when you was a little girl and you was going to run away from home. They come got you. Tore your tail up all the way to the house with a switch, too. Don't you ever run away again. You don't run from him. Because of that seal, he'll go with you. And while he's out there, he'll chasing you betimes and bring you right back to where you need to be. Why? He's got a job for you. What's that? To be fitly put together and growing into a holy temple. Listen, I watch these guys sit here and talk about how God's sovereign, 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 and they can't seem to quit wearing shorts. Hello? They still drinking wine. What's wrong with them people? Listen, if you fitly frame together by the in whom in that verse, you'll be dropping some things along the way, not picking them up and keeping them up. What'll happen to you? God will happen to you. Well, see that thing about holy temple at the end? Guess what that is? That's a work of God. I met this old preacher down in Georgia years ago. We was at a preacher's meeting. The old guy, he got up and preached, and he had preached, and every time he got up and preached, God would be up there with him and everything, you know, and we'd all enjoy his preaching. I sat with him one day at lunch, and apparently he'd made all the brethren mad in the morning session. And I sat with him because I liked him. I didn't care what he said to him. He wasn't talking about me no way, right? That's what y'all think when I preach to you. But he was sitting there and he said this. He said, brother, he said, I don't understand why it is that when you get older, you get more holy. He said, but you smile more. It's them frowning, not him. Poochie lip Baptist.
Yeah.
Stick them lips out. You're going to trip over that thing one day. You know what I found out, though? God has a sense of humor. You know what he did? He gave that guy a smile and gave them all frowns. Guess who slept better that night? He did. Why? He was in obedience and being fitted into a holy temple. Not too many months after that, that dear old preacher went to be with the Lord. Guess who's smiling now? Permanent smiles in heaven. Why? A holy temple. Holy temple. How would that make you smile? He inside you that sealed you and he took you up there. The first time you said, you tell me, if you go before I do, let me know when you get there what your face looked like. I'm guaranteeing when this, oh, I can't stand this place. There's too much preaching and singing. Take me. Is that what it was? That's what it's going to be like? Then you won't be there. You being fitted for a holy temple. And notice down the chapter 2, verse 22, next verse. He says, in whom, now watch this one, in whom you're also built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So number 6 tonight, that in whom shows the home place of the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose to live with you. I wonder sometime why our wives live with us, man. You ever wonder about that? Bunch of big, listen. We're feminizing our army. China's trying to masculine theirs. And our churches are trying to neuter our men. Why? They can't. Oh, you ain't telling us what to do. That's what y'all telling you. You men ain't telling us what to do. That's the problem. Ain't nobody telling you what to do. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. Women's Lib, ERA, blah, blah, blah. Is that right? Y'all doing so fine by yourself. Have children without us. Try that one on. You men that can live so independently, your wives, cook your own breakfast in the morning before you go to work. Some of you can't. She's going to make you do that already. But God created a marriage as a picture of Christ and his bride.
Yeah.
Husbands, love your wives as who did? Christ also loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. How? How the church submits to Christ. What is that thing doing? Well, see, what you have together is that habitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the habitation of God through the Spirit of God. What you are in right now is marriage training for heaven. Right now. So I thought we was already married to him. That's later. Remember that it wasn't the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Some of y'all will get that in a minute, bless your heart. Y'all think I'm fixing to slice you up? I done did that. The bad part's over with. Listen to this. Through the Spirit of God, he's making a place for himself. You're never going to get over that either. When we get to heaven, listen to this. When we get to heaven, we get in there. People may think, well, I'm separated from God. Now, how would you be separated from God in heaven? Now, you think about that statement before you make some dumb statement like that. But when you get there, you're not going to want to be around me. But you'll be around him. Everybody will. Every song will be about him. Listen, every sermon preached to be about him. You'll see the Bible for what it is. It's about him. And that's what we're supposed to be looking for now is him. So how do we get this stuff in? The more you're around him, the more it gets there and you get builded together for it. Now get this, builded together, that's all of us. So God is wanting to create a habitation there through the Spirit of God. Look down at chapter 3, verse 12. We see this one. In the first part of that verse, says, in whom we have this word right here, boldness. You see that? In whom we have boldness. What kind of boldness? It says the kind that comes, listen to this, with access, it says there, with confidence by the faith of him. So our boldness comes with the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our possession is the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how you can tell a God-called preacher? You ain't really tell by what they'll preach on with who's sitting there. You ever hear a guy named John the Baptist? What he have to say to Herod? Oh, brother, would you lead us in prayer, please? Called him out by name. And the strangest thing happened. Listen to this. He got killed for it. Who let that happen? God did. His ministry was done. But I did notice one thing about his ministry is different from everybody else's. He may not have lasted 6 months, but he got rewarded for it in heaven like he had done it for 60 years. Because Jesus Christ said of him, there'd been no greater man lived or was living than him right at that moment, except he which is least in the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't you like for God to brag on you like that? What's the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ? When faced with the same type of crowd, he called them out for what they were. And what were they? I believe he said, ye are your father, the devil. Told him, Jews, you're not Abraham's children. You're your father, the devil. What's that? Boldness. Half this crowd today, you park a liberal in front of them, they won't even preach on the virgin birth, for it's going to offend that liberal. You know what you ought to do? Some of you preachers are just praying. Listen to this. Ask God to put you in front of them little preachers at the funeral home. Preach the devil out of them. Amen. Let them hold it. You reckon God give you that opportunity? He might give it to you this week. And listen to this. If he does, let him hold it. If you called of God, you got the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have boldness with confidence by faith of him, in whom we have boldness, who? Jesus Christ. This bunch will dodge sin, dodge iniquity. That ain't of God. You've got a possession in heaven that God give you to be bold about it. Listen, I've heard him make fun of our governor, say he's old fashioned and all this other stuff. He signed that bill against that abortion stuff just like that and didn't sweat it. They 11 lawsuits at him. He said, whatever. Right's right, wrong's wrong. I'd like to know if I took office like that, I'd have the guts to sign that piece of paper and be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He ain't doing that to please the conservatives because half them ain't conservative. Right. They do like that fish out of water. They just do this all the time. Yep. I liked how they was all ready to sign up and go against that voter fraud stuff, and then them Vikings invaded them in there, and all of a sudden they forgot all about that. They wasn't bold no more after that. Didn't even time to find out who done it. Here's a good one for you. In whom, this is boldness thing, it's in whom, not in you. It's in whom, it's in him. And if he's in you and you in him, you'll have it. It's a possession. Notice this one. That same verse, it says, in whom we have what? We got boldness. It says, in whom we have boldness there and access. Boldness and access, with same way, with confidence by the faith of him. So we not only have the boldness, but we also have the access of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, we have access by the faith of him, and the him would be Christ. When I, the first time I ever I bought my own boat, it's a little plastic bass tracker boat, and it's a nice little thing. It's good to go local fishing with and everything. But the very first day I had the thing, me and Lisa took it out on Labor Day. No, it's in spring. What holiday is that?
Memorial Day.
And that old cigarette, not cigarette, but the cigar chewing guy down here, what's his name? Do you remember his name? Yeah, the guy right down here. He's the game warden sitting right down there when he's pulling the boat in. Chewing a little cigar. He said, you know something, son? He said that the last days of a man's life with a vote, there's only two of them. The day you right and the day you sell it. Twenty-eight-year-old me thought, take that cigar out your mouth while I hear you, but I didn't say it because he had a badge and a gun. But he was right. I had loved it the first day, and I loved to see it going too. But I got to thinking about that thing when I pulled it up there. I had a gas motor on the back of it, and at Lake Cherokee, you cannot have a gas motor on that lake. Because if you do, they want you to unplug the gas line and put a pin in it or something, or a golf tee. Only sinners play golf, so I didn't have none of them, Brother Steve. So he had to let me borrow some kind of something he had to plug the thing off with. I said, doesn't my word, if I won't crank this motor up? I mean, there wasn't no gas in the thing anyway. He said, nope, got to plug him up. I said, okay, plug him up then. But I got to thinking about that thing all afternoon. If we run on my gas tank of faith, we'll get so far. If we plug into you, we'll probably get further than we got with me. But if we plug into his tank, it never runs out. It makes a whole new meaning come by to Galatians 2:20 at that point.
Yeah.
By the faith of him. And right there, he says the faith of him. And it's the whom that we plugged into.
Yeah.
You plug into your gas tank, you get a little ways. You plug into him, you get all the way to heaven with it and back. So when is that important? When you realize what that word access means.
Yeah.
You ever heard somebody, maybe you said this, my prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing off. Well, if I remember this correctly, the prayer life of a Christian is established by the Old Testament tabernacle. That's where we get the establishment of that thing. We got to have a priest that can sit at the right hand of that altar and get through to who that's over the altar in there. In our case, in Moses' case in those days, the great high priest had to take the blood, clean his hands and feet off, walk in there before when he got to the prayer altar and take that blood behind that curtain and stand at the right hand of that thing and put the blood on the altar. That prayer altar, he could get through because of that blood. You and I, we don't just say, well, we're going to call on our priest to pray because we don't have one, because we is one. God made us kings and priests unto him, and we don't have to have a priest because he put us in that place that we don't have to do that no more. He gave us access in the in whom. And because we have access, we can go directly to the throne of God, and everything we ask in Jesus' name, he hears it and does it. You say, I've had prayers that's not answered. Well, he did that. You ought to thank God some of the things you prayed for didn't happen. You imagine what kind of mess you'd be in right now? But think about the things he did answer and how he done that thing for you. I promise you, it was at the last second almost every time.
Right.
No matter what it was. You wait, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. A month later, I don't know what I'm going to do. Finally, very last second, Lord says, I'm going to do it.
Right.
Why did he do it? Because of access. You ever seen these people wear these badges? These little things that go up and they swipe that thing to get in. Y'all might have one to get into your job with. That's an access card.
Yeah.
You know what you got? Because of in whom, you got access. You ain't got to swipe nothing. You just got to say it in Jesus' name, and God gives you the access to the throne of God.
That's right.
I don't have to bounce them off the ceiling no more. You know why? I got access.
Amen.
You ever heard somebody say, well, I pray to the man upstairs. Boing, boing, boing. I pray to my heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, access. Access. So what difference does that make? Everything. The day you got saved, somebody had an access card they let you borrow. Whose was it? The Holy Ghost. You couldn't get to him. He took you to him. You got saved. He sealed you to the day of redemption. You've got the blood. You got an inheritance. You got all that, but you got access. And now anytime you need the Lord, he's there for you. So when does that count? I don't know. I guess when things get bad, you'll think about it the most. But you ought to think about it every morning when you start your day and start letting him start guiding your life. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. How do you get that? You got to have access to get to him to find out what the commands are.
Yeah.
If you can't get in touch with the commander, your marching orders is always going to be wrong. I've never heard somebody come back from Paris Island, one of them places, or down there in Columbia to boot camp, come back and say, well, they just turned that thing loose and let me run it. I ain't never met nobody like that. Even this crazy outfit we're doing now, they don't do that. You go down there, you know what they're going to do? They're going to knock everything, don't look like a Marine off you. That's the first thing they do. I had a friend went down there, and he told me he went to fat camp. Oh, if they could see me now, you know. Went down there, 16-week boot camp, added 8 weeks to him. He come out of there, a lean, mean, fighting machine. He walked up to his mom and daddy at his graduation. They didn't even know who he was. He was standing there like this right here, 180 pounds. Walked in at 320, 180 pounds of solid steel and fighting appeal. You know what they did to that guy? They gave him access to the greatest training in the world, military training. Run him and run him and run him till he quit looking like a man and start looking like a Marine. You know, he got to eat every day. You want a diet? And tell you what his diet was? In the morning, he had 15 seconds to eat an egg. Oh, and cook it. How many of y'all can pull that off? Lunchtime, they brought him in there. Said, you boys been running. Here's your food. It's two peas and a piece of corn, one little kernel of corn, and a piece of lettuce about that big. 10 seconds to eat it. And then they take him outside and run him until they come back up. So a man can't live like nobody Marine can. And if you in there and overweight, they want you to run, they get all that out of you. Like I said, mom and daddy couldn't even recognize a little baby boy. He had bones sticking out of his face he didn't even know he had in his face. Listen to me. When God gets a hold to you and he's going to give you access like that in prayer, he's going to give you reason to pray. We always brag about how we know such and such prays like this. God wants you to pray like that. He wants you to get through to heaven with access, and he's going to knock everything out of the way to get you there. When we hear about great Christians, we don't hear about soft Christians. We hear about suffering Christians. So why are they like that? God gave them the access card. And he, more importantly than that, he gave them the in whom that makes the access work. Tonight, wherever you at in life, you there because of who the in whom is. Every possession God gave you at salvation, he gave it through Jesus Christ. And tonight, let's march forward for him no matter what goes on. He's the greatest thing ever happened to us. Indeed. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye.